You're listening to the Sunrise Community Church Podcast. At Sunrise, we desire that the glory of God would be the glory of this city. If you would like more information about our church, please visit our website at sunrisecc.com. Let's join this week's message.
The day was May 14th, 2023. It was a Sunday, and it was Mother's Day. Everything seemed like a normal morning around Sunrise Community Church. The weather was fine, it's just like it is now. It's not too hot yet. The band was warming up. The smell of freshly brewed coffee was in the air. And I was in my office putting finishing touches on a sermon. A sermon that was not going to cover anything about mothers, but just kept going on in the series that we were in. And that would be totally normal. Except we came to a particular text that Sunday that one family, after coming that Sunday, their very first time to Sunrise, told me after the service this. Well, that was certainly a Mother's Day we'll never forget. Why? Because the text was Genesis 19, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Nothing quite says Happy Mother's Day like a discussion of the sins of Sodom and burning sulfur and fire falling down from heaven. It is Mother's Day again. And so open your Bibles to Genesis 19 again. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. It's now been a year and we've arrived at another Mother's Day. And I'm not going to apologize for anything in the Bible. Though I will admit that, I won't put this on the elders, I'll just put it on me, I have employed a greater degree of tact in the scheduling of our sermons this year as opposed to previous years. And so today on Mother's Day, a month from now, on Father's Day, we have set time aside to focus on things pertaining to mothers and Father. So on this Mother's Day, I invite you to just split your Bible in half and turn to Proverbs chapter 31, where today we will focus on the woman who is best known as Lady Wisdom. Most people just think this is a passage about the kind of woman all women must be if you're female, or if you're male, this is the kind of woman you should marry. End of story. There's so much more to see in this passage, so much for all kinds of women and all kinds of men to embrace here. And the most important thing, there's so much of Christ to see in Proverbs 31. So we come to the book of Proverbs. From the beginning, it's structured and formed as in the form of a wise father giving sound instruction to his son about all of life. This is a book that's as famous as it is infamous. It's famous, most obviously, for its wisdom. That is its purpose, to lead anyone who reads it into true wisdom. Chapter 1, verse 2 is the call to know wisdom and instruction. Chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Chapter 1, verse 20, wisdom cries aloud in the street. And chapter 1, verse 33, whoever listens to wisdom will dwell secure, will be at ease, without dread of disaster. So wisdom is not only one of the main pursuits that ought to be present in each of our lives. Wisdom, according to Proverbs and according to the rest of the Bible, is bound up with God. It comes from the Lord, it is with the Lord, and all who seek the Lord will find themselves...
Gross.
Growing in wisdom. But Proverbs is also infamous, because while being full of wisdom, it is not a book that's very easy to read through to find a pattern or a structure. And so it's very rare to actually hear good teaching on Proverbs. Well, time will tell if you hear it today. And because it really kind of feels like a bunch of nuggets, wise nugget after wise nugget, that's really then just forms a big collection of fortune cookie sayings. That's what Proverbs feels like. Yet when we lean into this wisdom, we not only find how applicable it is to daily life, we actually understand that wisdom is accessible to anyone who seeks it. It's not that far away. It's right here for us to grab. Simply put, each proverb displays what God is like and what God values in his kingdom. Each proverb reveals our weakness and our foolish nature in that we need to be instructed in this manner. The Reformation Study Bible says it well in its introduction to this book when it says, "Proverbs is practical theology. God has established his covenant with his people, and the book of Proverbs offers instruction for us on how to live in this world as God's people." And of all the wisdom contained in this book today, we lean into the conclusion of this book where Lady Wisdom stands forth in bright beauty. You should know this is a carefully crafted section of Scripture. It's very... there's a lot of images here to see. One grand image of her, the woman, on display here. But it's a carefully crafted acrostic following each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's a poem where each of these 22 verses from Proverbs 31, 10 to 31 will follow each successing letter of the Hebrew alphabet from beginning to end. And that, the book of Proverbs ends, it ends with this poem. Doesn't just show us something, okay, well, we're going to end with a woman that's great here. That it ends with this Hebrew, very stylistic, intentionally crafted poem shows us that all the wisdom contained in the book of Proverbs is perfectly on display in a completed poetic structure in Lady Wisdom. She is the essence of everything we need to learn, in other words, in the book of Proverbs. How fascinating that a book that begins from instruction with father to son would end with Lady Wisdom. Well, there's three headings for us today to work through. They're on the back of your bookmark or just listen. The first heading is Her Value. Verse 10 to 12. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. As this final section begins, where we start to see the value and worth Lady Wisdom, it is clear that she is quite the lady to receive such commendation that she does here. She's called in verse 10 an excellent wife. But other translation options are available to us in all the English translations and in Hebrew and Greek. I want to go through them all just to see the landscape of what's in view here. She's called excellent wife here in our translation, but it also could be noble wife, virtuous wife, wealthy wife, and it's possible that it could just be woman and not wife. And so marriage might not even be in view here yet, at least in verse 10. Literally in the Hebrew, it reads a strong woman or a woman of valor. And to make it even more pointed, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament does not read excellent wife. It reads manly woman. If you haven't made your Mother's Day card yet, put that in there. You are a manly woman. Pastor said so. All this together helps us conclude that Lady Wisdom is both a rare woman and a strong strong woman. She is both of those. Because of her extraordinary rarity and uniqueness, she is utterly valuable beyond the price of rare gems. The mention of her husband comes next in verse 11 and 12. It's very brief, though, and that her husband's even present here is something of a surprise with her great worth. He's very much in the background in these 22 verses, and really his presence only serves to draw more attention to her, not him. That it says, though, in verse 11, that the heart of her husband trusts in her is itself something to notice. Only here in verse 11 and one other place in the Old Testament do we find it telling us that a heart trusts in something other than God and calls that good. Every time trust in the heart is mentioned, it's always trust the Lord and no one else. Only twice in the Bible. Right here's one of them. The heart of her husband trusts her. This further backs up just how rare and wonderful Lady Wisdom really is. She's so wonderful that her husband is said to have great gain in her. This word gain in the Hebrew is plunder. It's a military word. She is a manly man who defeats her foes and brings back all kinds of plunder into the home. In all this, she does nothing but good, no harm to her husband forever. That's a high bar. Do you feel that? Like, that's out of reach. Just keep that in mind as we keep going through this. Brings us back to the question, verse 10. Who can indeed find a woman like this? That Genesis 3 happened, meaning that sin is real, that the only kind of women in the world are sinful women, might legitimately lead us to conclude, you can't find a woman like this. So does this woman really exist? Well, more on that later. I'll hold you in suspense until the end. For now, just notice the quality of the marriage and the home being presented in verse 11 and 12. Rather than this husband fighting through doubt and suspicion in regard to his wife, he has nothing but trust in her because she is true and not false. She is constant and not temperamental. She is reliable, not fickle, and wise, not foolish. His trust in her leads him, in verse 23, to relax in his work at the gate of the city with the other elders, and leads him to praise her in the concluding verses in verse 28 to 31. That Lady Wisdom is such a daily benefit to her family and husband, impresses on us a reminder that wisdom can be a daily benefit to us if we seek it out and live in it. That if we desire to be of great good to those around us, those near to us and those around us in daily life, wisdom is the road that will lead to great blessing, virtue, and strength. That's her value. Now let's look at the big middle section, verse 13 to 27, her activity. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household. For all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So here we see the diligent activity of Lady Wisdom on full display. And I mean that this kind of activity is the stuff of legend. Let's just go through one at a time. In verse 13, she willingly, gladly goes and seeks out raw materials to make clothing for her family. That's where wool and flax come in. In verse 14, her work ethic is so strong that she's likened to be a merchant ship that successfully leaves harbor, leaves home, goes afar, off in a distance, and brings back all kinds of goods. In verse 15, she puts the needs of others before her own comfort, as she is a morning person, rising from sleep while it's still night. Everyone else is sleeping. She's the first awake to provide for everyone in her household, family and servants. In verse 16, she shows herself to be a good steward. Notice, considering, that word is there. So she employs the appropriate level of responsibility and risk with managing the finances of the family, and buys land and then does the work herself to cultivate a vineyard. Things you'd think she'd leave to servants, but in verse 17, we see her girding up her loins and working with her arms. In verse 18, interesting, she's aware of the great good and benefit she brings her home. She's aware that she is blessing her home with her great work. This is seen in that her lamps aren't put out at night. There's two ways to interpret this, and I think both are good options. They both can't be true at the same time, but both are good. I don't know which one's right, but both are good options. This could refer to her working late into the evening and not doing so to burn herself out, but gladly working when everyone else is sleeping. Find that a little difficult or realistic, because we already saw she's the morning person. Now we're seeing she's the evening person as well. Is this possible? Well, we'll see. The oil not being put out could also mean, or could mean, that she has enough resources from her hard work bringing it into the home that they don't have to do what other families do. Other families don't have the financial resources to buy enough oil to keep their lamps lit all night long, so they turn them off at night. Well, she is such a hard worker in her own, not only mothering, not only stewarding the finances for the family, but in her own entrepreneuring as well, that they just leave the lamps on all night long. Both are good options. In verse 19 and 20, we see her hands hard at work, not only to produce for others, but her hands open to provide for others too. In verse 21, she doesn't fear the winter. She lives in Florida. That's not what that means. She doesn't fear the snow. Interesting, you see the reason. Because her own household is clothed in scarlet. If you look in your Bible, you see a little number by the word scarlet. Go down to what that means. It's double thick clothing. Meaning, she doesn't fear the cold because she can provide warm clothes for her family at no trouble. Other families might fear this that don't have what she has. She doesn't fear the cold. Now in verse 22, for the first time in this long list, we see her actually caring for herself. Notice her two top priorities, her clothing and her bedding. She loves the nice stuff, which is totally fine. In verse 23, we then see more benefit coming to her husband. Because of her, he has no worries about life at home. And because of her, he is well respected in his work among the leaders in the city. In verse 24, she runs her own business to contribute to the income of the family, making and selling clothes to both buyers and businesses. And then in verse 25, my oh my, we see a deep, contented strength in her. It says her own clothing is strength and dignity. And rather than worrying about the future, when the future and the unknown comes into view, she's not concerned about it. She laughs at the unknown in front of her. Why should it bother her? In verse 26, she teaches others. Others who clearly see everything in this list on display, that she has a ton to offer. What does she teach? She teaches kindness. That is the word in Hebrew, hesed. Covenant, devotion, covenant love, the covenantal reality of God. This is what she's teaching to her family. And to wrap it all up in verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. When we're talking with our sons about the kind of woman they need to marry, we want them to marry, we go through a list. But we're honest, and we understand even in our list, like, you want this character trait, this personality trait, like all these things, you want to just check the boxes, see if they're checked, right? It's a fallen world. Not all of those qualities are going to be present in one individual, except for this woman. All the good things of all the women throughout time seem to be present in this woman. She lacks nothing. She seems to be utterly perfect. And so, we could say, Lady Wisdom seems to have the faith of Eve, the hope of Sarah, the beauty of Rachel, the courage of Ruth and Esther, the strength of Mary, the servant heart of Phoebe, the heart of Lydia, open to the Lord, and on and on. And on. Lady Wisdom brings life and industry, compassion, courage, hope, vitality to every sphere that she is involved in. At home, among her family, in the markets, among the merchants, on the streets, among the needy, and in the city gate, among the leaders. She is a blessing to every single person that is around her. So we've seen her value, we've seen her activity, now see the end in verse 28 to 31, her praise. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. So given all that we've seen of Lady Wisdom so far in this Hebrew acrostic alphabetic poem, this makes sense. It makes perfect sense that the end would be praise and applause or commendation, a recognition of who she is and what she has done. Her children praise her. Her husband praises her. Many women are great. You are the greatest. You surpass them all. You manly woman, you. And lest we forget, among all the wonders that this woman has, there's one factor that far outweighs them all. She might have charm. She might have beauty, but those things will pass. The one thing that is more deserving of praise than any other thing about her is that she fears the Lord. She is bound up with the Lord. So if any man is to seek her, he needs to know the Lord and seek her in the Lord. She's so deep in the Lord that man has to know the Lord to find her. This not only makes her the wonder that she is, it's such a fitting conclusion for the book of Proverbs. It began, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And now we see the end, the fear of the Lord is for this woman wonderfully deserving of praise. Beginning, father's instruction to his son, fear the Lord, that's wisdom. Fearing the Lord makes you depart from sin. Fearing the Lord makes you grow wise. All of that's on display, son, in this woman. So, that's the famous passage. Probably the most famous, at least top two or three of all of Proverbs, when we think about it. I'd like to give you three encouragements for this Mother's Day. First, just for you ladies. Men, don't check out. This is not nap time. This is still for you. But ladies, I'm sure there are some of you that if we've trekked through this passage, you're thrilled. There's something in your soul that agrees and affirms everything that we've just seen, and you hear it like step by step by step by step and wonder after wonder after wonder after wonder, and you're like, yes, that's what I want! That's the goal, that's the target, that's the purpose of my life! And you are thrilled to have such an example that you can emulate. That's some of you. But I don't think that's all of you. I think others of you, rather than thrilling you, this seems like a burden to you. Maybe that's not even strong enough language. You feel, gosh, Pastor, on the day that I'm supposed to be honored as a mom, you come here and tell me that I'm not living the way I'm supposed to be living. I already know that. Now I get this on Mother's Day. Thanks a lot. Let's go back to Sodom. Some of you might feel like that because you've tried to meet this standard and you don't. I mean, who can be the perfect morning and evening person that goes to bed after everyone and gets up before everyone? What are you to do with this? Well, ladies, I'd encourage you to kind of back up and see the whole 31 chapters of Proverbs, rather than just looking only at this one tree. Look at the forest of Proverbs. It's wonderfully encouraging, and I hope relieving to you. There's another picture of Lady Wisdom in Proverbs, and we get it in chapter 9. She is not there what she is here. In chapter 9, she does not have verse 13 to 27. All those disciplines, all those habits, all those practices, all that work and activity for the blessing of family and others, none of that is present yet. You know what we see in chapter 9? We see her, in a sense, out and about in the town, calling out, who's going to come in and gladly receive the wisdom that I have to offer? Now, it doesn't say this explicitly. This is poetic language and wisdom literature. So most commentators in your study Bibles will tell you chapter 9 is Lady Wisdom, young and unmarried, seeking a husband. And many years have gone by between chapter 9 and chapter 31 where Lady Wisdom slowly grows into Lady Wisdom. So be encouraged. Chapter 31 is not the call to be some kind of superhero Wonder Woman that's only fit for some kind of elite level of Christianity. chapter 31 is the result of consistent, faithful, though flawed, fruitful, though fallen, consistent looking at wisdom for a whole life. It doesn't happen overnight. And we would even say that the lady in 31 is a needy lady too, for she fears the Lord. In that fear is a recognition of her own sin. So is this a real woman? Every other woman, Proverbs, is a real woman, so I think she is. I think she's a good goal to have in mind. But, I'll just wait on that for the third encouragement. Second, now, all right, men, hop back in here. We need to be reminded that Lady Wisdom is not the only woman in Proverbs. There's another woman in Proverbs when we step back and see all 31 chapters in view. Proverbs is written, remember, from the perspective of a father to a son about wise living in all of life. And this father knows who he has in mind that he wants his son to marry. And so Lady Wisdom enters into Proverbs at many points. We've seen 9 and 31, those chapters. And we've seen this father instruct his son, this is the one to attach your life to. But this father knows that not every woman that this son will encounter in life has his best in mind. Some will have destruction in mind. And so in chapters 5, 6, and 7, we come to the adulterous woman. That's as wicked and as deplorable as Lady Wisdom is delightful and beautiful. They're the epitome of both sides of righteousness and sinfulness. We learn much in this. I mean, the low-hanging fruit that needs to be plucked is avoid one, pursue the other. That's surface-level, low-hanging fruit. The greater lesson, though, isn't about women at all, is it? These two women stand forth in Proverbs as kind of a parabolic picture of two kinds of lives that you can live. One looks very wicked and one looks very righteous. One looks very sinful and one looks excellent. But in life, as we experience that, it doesn't often feel like that, does it? Sin rarely feels like in the moment right and wrong. I think these two women show us that sin and righteousness, the struggle in daily life, feels like the choice between not what is right and wrong, but the choice between what is easy and what is right. It's easy to go the way of the world. There's no resistance. You just give up and float down that stream. It'll take you wherever it wants to. If you want to fight the righteous life or live this life, you got to go against a lot of the current in the world. But it's the right way to go, though harder. These two women are a parable that shows us one truth. The way of wisdom is better and more beautiful than the way of the world. The way of wisdom is better and more beautiful than the way of the world. That's a reminder that we are always in need of hearing. So third, and most importantly, Lady Wisdom is a type of Christ. Lady Wisdom shows us, type means, Lady Wisdom shows us what Jesus will look like. This answers some of the question, is Lady Wisdom a real woman? Yes, real goal. More importantly, look to Christ. And all that you love in her, Christ will give you in him. How is this true? Lady Wisdom We've seen the three headings about her in our time together. We've seen her value in verse 10 to 12. And so we could say of Jesus, ultimately, Jesus is the one who is of infinite value because who he is. The eternal Son of God, never knowing a beginning, always in perfect communion with the Father and the Spirit, all of a sudden knew a beginning as he became man. For us, who he is, his rareness and his uniqueness shows his incomparable uniqueness and value. We see that in Lady Wisdom's value. Secondly, we saw Lady Wisdom's activity in verse 13 to 27. Her hard, diligent work to be a blessing to her home and those around her. But we would say, ultimately, Jesus is the one who does the most laborious and wondrous work for us to save us and keep us. Jesus' work is the thing in view to see in all of this work. I mean, as we were going through it, ladies, I know you're feeling it. The bar, you're like, that's 30,000 feet high. I can't even jump up there. I can't even get near this thing. The work of Christ is so infinitely greater than Lady Wisdom. Her bar is like an ankle level. Christ is that far above her. And he did that work for us. We don't have to reach up to him. He came to us. It's the glory of his work that far surpasses hers. Thirdly and lastly, we saw her praise, Lady Wisdom's praise in verse 28 to 31. And ultimately, we want to say, for who he is and what he has done, Jesus is the one, truthfully the only one, who deserves all praise for who he is and what he has done. So no wonder Paul, in all his writings, wisdom to the only wise God, is how he ends Romans. In 1 Corinthians 1, he mentions a whole smattering of things that Jesus is to us. He says Jesus is not only our righteousness from God, not only our sanctification in God, not only our redemption from sin, as big as that is, Jesus is more. He is to us wisdom from God. Everything commendable about Lady Wisdom and more is found in Christ and given to anyone who believes in Christ. Christ is the wisdom of God to us. So on this Mother's Day, I want you to grow wise, ladies. I want you to grow wise, men. But you don't have to become this like invincible, elite level, like athlete Christian. It's like D1 Christianity or something. It's unattainable. If you want to become wise, get closer to Jesus. That's what we learn in Lady Wisdom. She feared the Lord. May we do the same.
Thank you for listening to the Sunrise Community Church Podcast. We pray you are blessed by the preaching of God's Word. If you would like more information about our church, please visit our website at sunrisecc.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.